This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I once saw a single reply all email that shook the entire project team. Not because of the mistake, but because of how it was handled. See, the reply all email landed like a grenade in our project's inbox. We were in this tense final weeks of a major software launch where every detail mattered and every message was scrutinized. The email came from a senior member of the PMO addressed to the entire project leadership team. The email read, "Daryl, you forgot to invite the QA lead to the 10 a.m. sync. Please be more careful." I looked over at Daryl. I watched how Daryl, one of my most committed engineers, physically flinched at his desk. He wasn't just corrected, he was publicly shamed for this minor oversight. His shoulders just slumped. And in that moment, his focus shifted from solving complex code to, unfortunately, nursing a sting of embarrassment. We've all been there, family. But see, what I had to understand is that the PMO hadn't just flagged a missed invite. They undercut its confidence and dented the team's morale in front of everyone. This was a critical mistake. But I knew if I let this slide, I will be allowing a culture of fear to take root. Therefore, I had to do what was best, not only for the team, but for Daryl. So I stepped in. First, I went to Daryl's desk. I didn't start with the mistake. I started with him. He admitted, you know what? That email did rattle me. Not because of the oversight, but because it felt like he was being made an example of. Normally, he said, they'll just ping me or you in private. I told him, he was right, and I'll take care of it. Then I called the PMO resource, calm, direct, of course, professional. I said, I saw your email about the meeting invite. In the future, for small administrative tasks like this, please message me or the team privately. See, we're building a culture where people feel safe to make small mistakes, and public call-outs chip away at that. The fix was easy. The fallout wasn't. The PMO member was surprised, but they understood. They were focused on the process while I was focused on the people who kept the process alive. That incident cemented one of my core principles as a leader. Respect is built in private. Credibility is built in public. Quiet one-on-one correction strengthens trust. Public recognition builds loyalty and confidence. It's not about avoiding mistakes. It's really about how you handle them in front of others. Because at the end of the day, you're not just managing tasks or timelines. You are leading people. Principle number one, respect is built in private, credibility in public. Quiet corrections preserve dignity. Public recognition builds confidence. Your team needs both to feel safe and most of all, motivated. Why is this important, family? What I see happen a lot of times is new PMs often confuse being visible with being respected. The truth is, you lose respect the moment you embarrass someone in public. Now, I know what some people are going to say. Well, what you're trying to say, I can't call anybody out even if they made a mistake and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you still don't get it, do you? See, the point of it is that in order to set your team up for success, your project team that you're leading, you should be on the offense and the defense protecting them. If they make a mistake, you correct them privately because you want to give them a chance to have success. Experiment with these actionable tips. Handle mistakes in one-on-ones, not in front of the group. Next one, use meetings to spotlight contribution, not call out errors. I could go on about that one, but I'll let that one go. Last and final one, when something goes wrong, ask yourself this quick question. Does this need to be fixed publicly or privately. Here's my professional insight, family. Teams don't remember the tasks you corrected. They remember whether you protected or you exposed them. Key note here, choose wisely. But I know, of course, not every nod or smile in meetings signals support. Sometimes agreement is just a mask. Principle number two, not every smile means agreement. I like that, family. See, silence or smiles in a meeting does not always mean alignment. Sometimes it's really meaning avoidance. New PMs take polite nods as a buy-in, only to be blindsided later when commitments stall. Experiment with these actionable tips. After a meeting, follow up directly with quiet stakeholders. Next one, ask what concerns do you still have instead of any questions? I laugh about that because I always see what someone said. Any questions? Instead of asking, are there any concerns? Does anyone have any feedback? What are your thoughts? All right, here we go. Last and final one, track repeated silence. It often hides in real objection. Here's my professional insight on this. A smile costs nothing, but real buy-in shows up in actions, not in expressions. And I know what you're thinking. When objections finally surface, you need curiosity, not judgment, to move forward. Principle number three, curiosity beats judgment every day, every week, every month. Okay, I'm sorry. Every time, basically. Family, see, shutting down opposing views builds walls. Curiosity, asking the why, builds bridges. You know what that feels like is when someone tells you, we've always done it this way. And then you say, well, why? Well, that it's just always done that way. But why? See, when people can't answer that, then that is where you got an opportunity to build that bridge. See, this is important, family, because new PMs feel pressure to defend their stance, but you gain more influence by seeking a understanding than by winning arguments. Experiment with these actionable tips. Replace I disagree with, help me understand your point. Next one, ask at least one clarifying question before offering your opinion. And the last and final one, document both perspectives. It shows fairness. Let me step back again. Asking at least one clarifying question before offering your opinion. Family, this is something that I continue to learn as someone in this thing called project management, as well as a leader, because sometimes you want to be so quick to solve that it's first to understand, asking a question to understand where their mindset is at. Anyway, I'll digress off that point. Here's my professional insight. Leaders who rush to judgment lose trust. Leaders who stay curious gain insight. But still, curiosity doesn't mean oversharing because transparency must be handled with care. Principle number four, never weaponize transparency. Transparency isn't dumping every ugly detail. It's sharing the truth in a way that builds trust, not fear. Why is this important? New PMs sometimes mistake brutal honesty for leadership, but unmanaged transparency damages morale. Experiment with these actionable tips. Share risk early, but pair them with an actionable plan. Next one, when execs frame bad news as here's the risk, let's try to frame that as saying, well, here's the mitigation response. Next one, with teams, we want to translate problems into next steps, not panic. Here's my professional insight. Transparency is a tool. Used well, it empowers. Used poorly, it paralyzes the team. And I know what you're thinking. Just as your words shape trust, so does the energy you carry in the room, especially on Mondays. Principle number five, your team reads you on Monday mornings. This is so true. See, your mood sets the emotional thermostat. If you're anxious, if you're drained, your team will mirror that. New PMs underestimate how much their presence influences others. Teams read you before they read the project schedule or the project plan. People always ask me, ED, why do you have so much energy in these meetings that you're leading? Because I understand I want my meeting to be different than any meeting you go to. I don't want it to sound mundane. I don't want it to sound boring. We will spark some energy in the beginning, the middle, and the end. I know we have to take care of business, and we will, but the energy that you come off with really sets the tone. Here, experiment with these actionable tips. Reset your energy before kickoff meeting. Next one, open Mondays with the last week wins. And the last and final one, avoid starting with complaints. Set direction first. Here's my professional insight. Project managers don't just lead work. They lead tone. But while you set the tone, you also need to listen, especially for what's hidden behind the complaints. Principle number 6, listen for the fear, not just the words. I like that, family, because complaints are often symptoms. The real driver is fear or blame or failure or losing credibility. Why is this important? New PMs dismiss complaints as negativity. Seasoned, my exceptional, my effective PMs, they decode them as early warning signs. Experiment with these actionable tips. Ask, what worries you most if this isn't fixed? Again, what worries you most if this is not fixed? Next one, listen for hesitation or a defensive type tone. And the last and final one, capture fears as risk, their data, not noise. Here's my professional insight, family. If you only hear the words, you will miss the truth. And sometimes the truth comes from one voice you never hear. Principle number 7, the quietest voice can kill the project. Silence is an agreement, often resisted, waiting for its moment, waiting for its opportunity, waiting to say, when are you going to call on me? Why is this important? New PMs ignore quiet stakeholders only to be blocked later, only to be misled later, only to be misguided later. It's important when you see or understand that you have a quiet stakeholder, you ask that quiet stakeholder, experiment with these actual tips. Follow up with the quiet participants directly. Next one, don't assume no comment means no problem. And the last and final one, map influence. Silent players often have hidden power. Here's my professional insight. The loudest critic rarely kills a project. It's the quiet resistor that normally does. And when resistance surfaces, you better know who can handle the surprise and who can't. Principle number 8. Know who hates surprises. Some stakeholders, some project team members thrive on quick pivots. Others panic, get nervous, get shook, can't understand why this is happening to them. Don't like being caught off guard. Why is this important? New PMs drop major updates in group forums, blindsiding key players. That erodes trust immediately and instantly. Experiment with these actionable tips. Identify who prefers pre-reads and private updates. Next one, share sensitive news with them before the meetings. And the last and final one, test reactions in one-on-ones before going wide. Here's my professional insight, family. Surprise the wrong person once, they'll make sure you never surprise them again. And I understand, family, that these principles may seem subtle, but together they form the foundation of leadership, project leadership. So here's the bottom line. Emotional intelligence isn't about being nice. It's about being effective. It's the difference between a project manager who just moves to task and one who moves people. Respecting in private, building credibility in public, looking past smiles, leading with curiosity, and using transparency as a tool, we're setting the tone. We're listening for fear. We're surfacing the quiet voices. We are managing surprises. These aren't soft skills. These are survival skills, because while your project plan and your project schedule might get forgotten, the way you make people feel will follow you into every future project. And that becomes your real reputation. One careless email can shake a whole project team, but the way you respond determines whether it fractures your team or you forge their trust. If you're new to the episode, I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, that just simply means it. Until next time.